From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. State transportation officials will hold a virtual public forum tomorrow evening on proposed safety improvements at one of Juneau's most dangerous intersections. The intersection at Yandukan Drive and Egan Drive is near the Fred Meyer grocery store and has long been one of Juneau's most accident-prone areas. Dozens of crashes, some deadly, have occurred there over the years. Sunny Mauricio, a spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Transportation, says the state is hosting the meeting to gather public feedback and share more information about a proposed plan to improve safety at the intersection.
This intersection is historically one of Juneau's most dangerous, ranking as the third highest for injury crashes in Juneau. The primary issue is the high-risk left turn going towards Fred Meyer's.
The proposed improvements would partially signalize the intersection with a traffic light and add a pedestrian crossing, which Mauricio says will help improve safety, circulation, and connectivity. Juneau residents have been vocal about the need for safety changes for at least two decades. In 2023, the Juneau Assembly passed a resolution asking the state to make immediate and substantial improvements at the intersection following a fatal crash. Since then, the state has made small changes like extending the medians there, painting clearer markings, and introducing a seasonal speed limit reduction. According to Mauricio, the state hopes to secure a contractor and begin construction for the more substantial improvements later this year.
We're making the intersection safer for everyone, including drivers, and there'll be more features for pedestrians and cyclists as well, with crosswalks and things like that. So it's a major improvement for that intersection.
The virtual open house meeting is tomorrow evening at 5:30 p.m. More information about the proposed project and the meeting link can be found on the Department of Transportation's website. For the first time, Juneau Police confirm immigration enforcement activity in Alaska's capital during President Donald Trump's sweeping immigration push. But the Juneau Police Department says its knowledge and involvement with ICE is very limited. KTOO's Yvonne Krumrie breaks down what the department does and doesn't know.
In 2025, federal officers detained three Juneau men for immigration enforcement and removed them from their communities. That's according to the Alaska Department of Corrections, which said the men were held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center in Juneau under federal charges and then released to federal custody. They're no longer in Alaska's correctional system, and KTOO was not able to confirm where they are now. Though JPD has not worked directly with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Juneau, police staff do have some information about the three men. Last May, one man was charged with driving without a license or insurance. Juneau Police Deputy Chief Craig Campbell said his files say ICE officers detained him. This happened in October without JPD knowledge or involvement.
During a unrelated investigation, JPD learned that one of the individuals had been deported by ICE.
Juneau Police arrested another man for a DUI in November. According to DOC, this man then went into federal custody, though Campbell said there's no record of immigration enforcement in JPD files about him. When police tried to serve a warrant to the third man after his arrest for a DUI in December, Juneau police officers went to his residence and were told by people there that he'd been deported. This is the first time police have confirmed immigration enforcement activity in Alaska's capital city during President Donald Trump's nationwide crackdown, even though days before KTOO's interview with Campbell, Police Chief Derek Boss told an assembly committee he was not aware of any federal immigration activity in Juneau. A spokesperson for DOC, which held the three men for the federal government, said once the men were in federal hands, the agency didn't track what happened to them next. JPD doesn't know where they are either, and ICE has not responded to requests for more information. Boss said at the Juneau Assembly Committee meeting, federal agents are not required to tell Juneau police if they're operating in town.
In essence, they do not have to tell us if they're doing anything in Juneau or not. We have a great relationship with our federal partners, and so most of the time we do know if they're coming or whatnot.
Nationwide, thousands of ICE officers have entered cities, going door to door to detain and deport people. Some children, some with legal status. Protests have erupted, and last month, federal officers shot and killed two people in Minneapolis. Assemblymember Maureen Hall said at the meeting that she's heard from residents about possible ICE activity in Juneau and that immigrants in the community are afraid.
Just from awareness of what's happening all over the country, they are pretty terrified. So reluctant to report minor fender benders or engage in any way. So if you have any suggestions on how we can help reassure them that Juneau Police Department is not ICE.
Chief Boss said Juneau residents can trust police to protect them.
If you're the victim of a crime, you have a lot of protections, and our job is to enforce those protections. So especially as victims, we encourage people to still come to us and talk to us. We don't have to report that you're a victim to a crime and you're illegal in the country. We don't have to report that to ICE.
Unless that person has a criminal detainer order, which is like a warrant from the federal government, Boss said.
We do have certain requirements where we have to notify, you know, if there's a person that we contact who's on a criminal detainer, we have to notify them. And we do. That's federal law. So we follow that.
There's no indication in police files that JPD alerted ICE about the three men who were detained, said Campbell. The files don't mention immigration status. He said people do have to comply with any orders from federal officers.
Anytime you have law enforcement coming into town, whether they're local, state, or federal, you know, they have a mandate to do, and you have to comply with it. So, especially if they have things like warrants.
Assemblymember Maureen Hall told KTOO in an interview that Juneau residents have a chance to think about how they can support immigrants here if enforcement activity ramps up locally.
It gives the opportunity for those in the community that are involved in this to review our readiness to deal with potential full-scale ICE activity.
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
A proposed mining road in Juneau is up for public comment. Grand Portage Resources, a Canadian company with plans to open the new Amalgamated gold mine near the face of Herbert Glacier, has applied to punch an access road through state land between Herbert River and Eagle River. Grand Portage is requesting to build a 1.3-mile-long unpaved road with helicopter pads connected to Glacier Highway around mile 27. The road would allow the company to stage drilling supplies and transportation to the proposed mine. This would be the first segment of road that will eventually reach the mine site if the U.S. Forest Service approves the operation, according to the company's application to the state. The Forest Service approved exploratory drilling at New Amalga last spring. Grand Portage has been flying in prospecting supplies from Mendenhall Valley and wrote in its application that building a new staging site and access road will shorten the helicopter flights. The road would cut through forest and wetlands in a popular recreation area near the Eagle Glacier Cabin Trail, Herbert Glacier Trail, and Windfall Lake Cabin Trail. If approved, the company anticipates road construction will begin this spring. The deadline to submit public comments is March 13th. Find this story on ktoo.org to learn where to submit public comments. And mariculture experts and tribal members gathered in Juneau last week to talk about the pressing obstacles and opportunities shaping the mariculture industry in Southeast Alaska. As KTOO's Alex Solomon reports, oysters were a main focus.
At the end of a dock in Auk Bay, an unassuming floating platform holds thousands of young oysters, called spat, in bins that are revealed when a farmer lifts a creaky hatch door. This is called a floating upweller system, or FLUPSY, and it's one way oyster farmers can keep more stock.
This is just a cheaper way to buy spat in a smaller size, much bigger quantity.
That's Miranda Hom, owner of Shinnecu Shellfish Company, a small, family-run Pacific oyster farm in Klawak. Hom is in Juneau for the day-long mariculture workshop organized by Alaska Sea Grant and Tlingit Haida. She says nutrient-rich water flushes through the FLUPSY, so the tiny oysters can grow quickly, big enough to fit into mesh bags out on a farm. This FLUPSY belongs to Salty Lady Seafood Company, the only oyster farm in Juneau. But Hom says she's planning to stock her own FLUPSY in Klawak. It's one way oyster farmers can scale up, even when there are bottlenecks in the supply chain.
Currently, there's only so many FLUPSYs in the state. And as a farmer, we've already not had seed needs met.
Most oyster farmers in Alaska, including Hom, have to ship in spat from out-of-state hatcheries, usually in Hawaii, Washington, Oregon, or California. Sometimes there are shortages at those hatcheries. And there's another way to address the supply chain problem, starting in-state hatcheries. As part of the workshop, participants are touring the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mariculture Research Hatchery at Lena Point, managed by Spencer Lunda. The facility pumps in seawater that gets heated and flows into troughs filled with oysters, where Lunda and his team are studying ways to produce spat locally for farms across Alaska.
It would be nice to have spat production in the state, and as well as to have just maybe be able to produce oysters that perform better in the conditions of Alaska because the water is very cold here compared to where oysters are typically grown.
He says the ultimate goal is to breed oysters that grow relatively quickly in cold water and form a deep cup with a lot of meat. Traits desirable for farmers trying to turn a profit and consumers slurping them from the half shell. Back on the dock, Hom says the lease process to enter the industry is another issue that could be improved.
I'm here sharing about being a farmer and the struggles and challenges that we face firsthand so other Indigenous farmers can get into the industry.
She says it took her 2 years to get an aquatic farm lease. And she says the state's process doesn't consult with tribes to see whether proposed farm sites would overlap with subsistence seafood harvest sites.
I think it's crucial that the state of Alaska incorporates tribal consultation rather than just city government, city municipal government consultation.
But developing mariculture operations could become a boon for Native communities too. Frank Nix is the cultural foods manager for the Organized Village of Kasan. He says he's at the workshop to see how mariculture could bolster economic development and food security in his small village.
So most of us are already working 3 or 4 jobs and all of our facilities are running 3 or 4 programs. So when it comes to looking at opportunities like, well, maybe we don't have the manpower to run a farm, but, you know, it seemed like 1 or 2 people could manage a space of the size that we were just in.
Like a small hatchery.
I think one of the most valuable things that I've seen so far is that this seems perfectly doable.
Nix says he's grateful to attend the workshop on a travel scholarship, and the recent availability of funding and training in Alaska mariculture makes the industry attractive. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And over at the Juneau International Airport, it's currently 18 degrees, and there is a cold weather advisory in effect until 9 a.m. tomorrow, where cold wind chill temperatures could be as low as 15 below. This is KTOO.